Good evening. We are a very fortunate group of musicians because of where we live, not too far from Fort Meade, where the Army Field Band is. Washington has the Army, the Air Force, Marine, and Navy bands. And of course, Annapolis has the Naval Academy Band. Once in a while, one of those fine musicians will take a detour through our little group here. So it is with this evening's conductor, Don Keller. Ray Ascione, our regular director, had some back surgery, and he's not able to lead us until next month. Don and Ray are very good friends, and we're glad they are. Don started out in the nuclear Navy, but because of his love of music, he ended up in the Navy music program. After playing in several bands, he was selected as a limited duty officer and led several of the Navy's fleet bands and the Naval Academy Band. He finished his naval career as a commanding officer of the Navy School of Music. Please welcome Don Keller. Our first number will be The Kingdom Triumphant by Eric Ball. Eric Ball was a Salvation Army musician. The program note says, this tone poem is designed to remind listeners of the Christian doctrine of the second advent of Christ at the end of this age. It is one complete movement, and the work falls into three parts. Number one is the vision of judgment. Two is remembrance of the first advent. Three, vision of the second advent. The Kingdom Triumphant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're going to go to something a little more familiar. White Christmas, written by Irving Berlin, reminiscing about an old-fashioned Christmas setting. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the version sung by Bing Crosby is the best-selling single of all time, with estimated sales in excess of 50 million copies. The first public performance of the song was also by Crosby on his NBC radio show, the Kraft Music Hall, on Christmas Day 1941, and the recording is not believed to have survived. At first, Crosby did not see anything special about it. He just said, "I don't think we'll have any problems with that one, Irving." Arranged by Mark Free for brass band, White Christmas.
Thank you.
Now we're going to move on to another more popular one, Sleigh Ride, Leroy Anderson. This is arranged by Ernest Tomlinson for brass band. Sleigh Ride was not originally written as a Christmas piece, but as a work that describes a winter event. He began work on it during a heat wave in August of 1946. The Boston Pops recording of Sleigh Ride was the first pure orchestral piece to ever reach number one on the Billboard pop chart. In the 1950s, Mitchell Parrish wrote the lyrics that we're all familiar with, along with other of Anderson's instrumental compositions, Sleigh Ride. Carol the Bells. The song is based on a traditional folk chant. It was associated with the coming New Year, which in pre-Christian Ukraine was originally celebrated with the coming of spring in April. With the introduction of Christianity to the Ukraine and the adoption of the Julian calendar, the celebration of the New Year was moved from April to January, and the holiday with which the chant was associated originally became the Feast of the Epiphany. The original Ukrainian text tells the tale of a swallow flying into a household to proclaim the plentiful and bountiful year that the family will have. The period for the birth of animals and the return of the swallows to the Ukraine, however, does not correspond to the current calendar season of winter. In Ukraine, the chant is currently sung on the eve of the Julian New Year. Carol the Bells, arranged by J. Aaron Stanley. Thank you. Winter Wonderland. We all hope for one of those. It was written by Richard Smith and Felix Bernard, arranged for brass band by Rijks van der Velde. Smith, a native of Honesdale, Pennsylvania, was reportedly inspired to write the song after seeing Honesdale's Central Park covered in snow. The original recording was by Richard Himber and his Hotel Ritz-Carlton Orchestra on RCA Bluebird in 1934. At the end of a recording session with time to spare, it was suggested that this new tune be tried with an arrangement provided by the publisher. This excellent studio orchestra included many great New York studio musicians, including Artie Shaw. Perry Como would record a version for his 1959 Christmas album, and due to its seasonal theme, Winter Wonderland is often regarded as a Christmas song in the Northern Hemisphere, although the holiday itself is never mentioned in the song. There is a mention of sleigh bells several times, implying that this song refers to the Christmas period, Winter Wonderland.
Thank you.
Karen, you were going to come up, or you again? Okay.
During this intermission, we'd like to collect a love offering so the ushers can come together. And during this time, Ken can make some announcements and introduce the band.
Hey, how many of you, this is the first time you've ever seen a British brass band? Oh, good. Bunch of rookies. What's one thing you notice? No clarinets, no flutes, no saxophones, no oboes, no bassoons. This is an all-brass band. And let's see, I'll go start with the percussion today. We've got Dave and Larry back here on the percussion, timpani, drum kit. That's a little better. And then we've got what I like to call the heavy metal part of the band, the tubas. We've got a C and some B flats back there. And then next up, we've got trombones. We've got some tenor trombones with F attachments. We've got a straight tenor and a couple of bass trombones. And then after that, George and I play the euphonium. You probably thought it was a baritone, didn't you? It's a euphonium. More of a British type of instrument. You see it there, but it's very used very much in the military bands. And then Margaret and Louise, you all know Louise, I believe. She goes to church here. they are playing the baritone. Louise is holding what we call a baritone in this country, but it's more correctly a bell front euphonium. Margaret has a true English style baritone, a little brighter sound than the euphonium. Then going around, yeah, you can see the difference in size, but they play in the same register. Going on around, we have the alto horns. And those, we used to call them peck horns in marching band. And you can't have French horns in a British brass band. It just doesn't work. So we've got altos. And then we have something, how many of you ever heard of Chuck Mangione? Okay, he played the flugelhorn, and that's what Paul plays. That's a flugelhorn. And then we have the B-flat cornets. It's looks like a trumpet. It's a little shorter, a little mellower sound. And we've got a whole passel of them. And then we've got the guy that gets all the high parts. You keep an eye on him. He gets red in the face a lot when he's playing up there. That's the E-flat cornet. That's the little guy. And this is we just love the brass band literature, and I think you've probably noticed from what we played, it's really a neat sound. So we're going to continue with A Partridge in a Pear Tree, arranged by Gavin Somerset. And we all know the 12 Days of Christmas. We're all familiar with geese a-laying, maids a-milking, 5 gold rings. This version's a little different. Mr. Somerset did an excellent job of interweaving well-known Christmas carols into the 12 Days of Christmas. Listen close. Every section of the band's going to get a turn. A Partridge in a Pear Tree.
Thank you.
That's just the kind of stuff you don't hear with the regular band. British Brass Band, you get this. Next one, The Parade of the Tin Soldiers. It's an instrumental musical character piece in the form of a popular jaunty march, written by German composer Leon Gessel in 1897. The Parade of the Tin Soldiers was originally composed for solo piano. Gessel later published it for orchestra in 1905. Since the early 20s, the piece has been very popular in the U.S. and is frequently performed and recorded worldwide. A Betty Boop cartoon, Parade of the Wooden Soldiers, was created with the music in 1933. Also in 1933, the Rockettes began annually performing their own choreographed version. The melody was also used in a Disney cartoon, Polar Trappers, to accompany a scene where penguins march behind Donald Duck as he tries to lure him into a trap. The Parade of the Tin Soldiers. I Vow to Thee My Country is a British patriotic song created in 1921 when a poem by Sir Cecil Spring Rice was set to music by Gustav Holst. This poem begins, "I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of my love." While not strictly a Christmas number, we believe it's appropriate because we often think of those who gave their all so we could celebrate Christmas. It is typically sung in the United Kingdom during services on Remembrance Day, which we know as Veterans Day. I vow to thee, my country. Once in Royal David City was written by Harry Gauntlett, and it's arranged by Philip Spark. Once, and the words go, once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Here are the original opening words of this carol. The poem was written by Cecil Frances Alexander and originally published in 1848. She is best remembered for her hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Once in Royal David City.
Thank you.
We're going back to Leroy Anderson now. A Christmas festival is probably everybody's favorite. It includes excerpts from Joy to the World, Deck the Halls, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Good King Wenceslas, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Silent Night, Jingle Bells, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and Adeste Fidelis. Listen for the clever ways that Anderson puts these songs into this piece. And some of them are kind of unconventional. O Little Town of Bethlehem almost sounds like a military march. So consider this your sing-along opportunity. If the spirit moves you, join in on the carols. Leroy Anderson's A Christmas Festival.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ever since Ray joined our band, he's had us finish every concert with one piece, America the Beautiful. And when Ray came to the band, we didn't have that piece in our library. So I asked around, and a week later, Randy, this man back here arranged Carmen Dragon's America the Beautiful for brass band in 1 week. So we do it. It's marvelous. And the reason Ray has us play this at the end of every concert is it was a promise he made to himself after September 11th to pay honor to this country, this beautiful country we live in. America the Beautiful.